May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 736. 736. Show me some token, Lord, for good, some token of thy special love. Show me that I am born of God, and that my treasure is above. Hymn number 736.
Thank you. from the Holy Word of God. Let us turn to read this evening, dear friends, in the first book of Samuel. And we will read chapter 19 and the first three verses of chapter 20. The first book of Samuel, chapter 19, and then the following three verses. And Saul spake to Jonathan his son, and to all his servants, that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now therefore I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee, and what I see, that I will tell thee. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee, Lord, very good. For he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine. And the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it, and didst rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood, to slay David without a cause? And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan. And Saul sware, as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all those things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence, as in times past. And there was war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines, and slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul, as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin. But he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall. And David fled and escaped that night. Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, If thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michal took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster and covered it with a cloth. And when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, He is sick. And Saul sent the messengers again to see David, saying, Bring him up to me in the bed, that I may slay him. And when the messengers were come in, behold, there was an image in the bed, with a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. And Saul said unto Michal, why hast thou deceived me so, and sent away mine enemy that he is escaped? And Michal answered Saul, he said unto me, let me go, why should I kill thee? So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel to Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naioth. And it was told Saul, saying, behold, David is at Naioth in Ramah. And Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. And when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. And Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. Then went he also to Ramah, and came to a great well that is in Sekou. And he asked and said, where are Samuel and David? And one said, behold, they be at Naioth in Ramah. And he went thither to Naioth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Naioth in Ramah. And he stripped off his clothes also, and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Wherefore they say, is Saul also among the prophets? And David fled from Naioth in Ramah, and came and said before Jonathan, what have I done? What is mine iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father, that he seeketh my life? And he said unto him, God forbid, thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so. And David sware moreover and said, thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. May the Lord grant his blessing upon that portion of his holy and sacred word to us each. And may he now help us to pray. O thou most holy, almighty, most gracious God, the Father of thy children, Lord, may we be amongst that number. Have mercy, Lord, upon us as we gather together here this night. For we come, Lord, seeking to be gathered together in the name of Jesus, and to confess our sins before thee, and to hear thy voice of love and mercy. Oh, may it be such a time appointed by thee for the blessing of our souls. Lord, thou knowest how we have come tonight. And we pray, Lord, that it will not be in vain. Make this plot, this place, this place of worship, a spot of sacred ground for each one of our souls. Lord, may we hear thy voice. O Lord, how vital to know the power of thy word. As David prayed, Lord, be not silent to me, lest I become like them that go down into the pit. Lord, we need to know thy call by grace. We need to know, Lord, the power of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, his shed blood on Calvary's cross, the sacrifice even for our sin. Oh, Lord, we plead the name of Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, Lord, we give thee thanks, oh, for this never-ending hope of eternal life through the merit of thine own Son. Lord, do ever humble us before thee. We have an evil, wicked heart within us. Lord, as thy word describes it, deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Lord, in our nature we seek our own glory, our own way. O Lord, we want to be ruled by our own selves and not by thee. Lord, by nature we are far off, outside the commonwealth of Israel. Without thee, without God, and without hope in this world. But, O Lord, we pray thou wilt draw us nigh. As we have sung, Lord, that prayer, show me a token, Lord, for good. A token of thy special love. Show me that I am born of God. And that our treasure is above. O Lord, may that be our daily supplication, to receive more evidences, more tokens, more confirmations that we are thine, and thou art ours, and that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, even such as we. Lord, remember those unable to be here tonight. Lord, we do commend them to thee. Lord, still grant a blessing through thy word. Lord, those detained, unable to come, but oh, we thank thee, Lord, technology available today. Lord, that they can still join in worship. And we pray, Lord, united in spirit, although not in body. O Lord, do bless thy word wherever it is proclaimed. And as it goes forth, Lord, oh, may it have free course and be glorified. Remember any, Lord, who are sick. Lord, those passing through times of a concern. And Lord, we pray thou wilt heal. Oh, can it be thy will hear and answer their prayers and the prayers put up on their behalf. Lord, remember those who feel the weakness of old age. Lord, feeling, as the hymn writer put it, feel the mud-walled cottage shake. Oh, Lord, may they be strengthened in spirit, in their soul. Lord, may they be increased in faith, nothing wavering. Looking, watching, waiting, oh, for thine appearing. Lord, we know not when thou shalt appear. Lord, we all need to look, to watch, to wait. Each day, Lord, to look unto thee. To pray thy presence is with us. And as we begin this new year, oh, to pray as Moses prayed, if thy presence go not with us, carry us not up hence. Lord, we need thee every day, we need thee every hour. We need to be kept from falling. Lord, do rule our hearts as our opening hymn did ask. Let thy good spirit rule our hearts, govern our words and ways. Lord, lead us forth in the right way. That way, Lord, that is to the honour and glory of thy name. Lord, that way which is humbling ourselves under thy mighty hand, that thou mayst exalt us in due time. A way in which we cast all our care upon thee. O Lord, for thou art a merciful and gracious God, that in spite of our many sins, all of our transgressions, our backslidings, all that grieves thy spirit. Lord, nothing separates thy people from thy love. So, Lord, we would come humbly before thee tonight with that thanksgiving for thy faithfulness, for that great grace that abounds over all of our sin. Lord, do grant us a true spirit of worship and do not send us empty away. Lord, may we not go away as if we've never been. Lord, do grant that portion for the good of our soul and application for life's pathway. We pray for our loved ones. Lord, remember them where they are. Lord, some at home, the children at home. Lord, there are some maybe far away, whom we do not see very much. But Lord, hear the prayers put up for all those whom we love. And oh, may they hear thy voice. Lord, that call by grace to separate them from the power of sin into the knowledge of the saving grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank thee where thou hast testified of thy mercy to their souls. But if any, Lord, are far off, have no interest, Lord, in the eternal state of their soul, O Lord, do quicken them. Lord, do not make any tarrying. Lord, do call by grace and, oh, put that desire within them to know their Jesus crucified, convinced of sin and led to Jesus' blood. Lord, may none of us be left out of that way. Oh, Lord, do bring us to where we know our pardon is sealed and our peace with thee, our God. We ask thy blessing, Lord, upon the ministry here, on every assembling together in thy name. Lord, those that are engaged throughout this year, if it is thy will. Lord, do bring each one as a messenger in thy message. Oh, may there be the sound, Lord, of the gospel proclaimed. And may there be many that hear the joyful sound. To walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Lord, may there be that convincing, oh, what our great sinners we are, unworthy of the least of thy mercies. And then, Lord, in that prayer indicted by thee for forgiveness, oh, do command the light to shine out of the darkness. That light to reveal the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Lord, amongst thy people here, bring many forth to declare, to testify of the mercy they have found. Lord, through faith in Jesus Christ, build up thy visible church. Lord, do cause many to cry, oh, come all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Lord, help us day by day in our varied life patterns and circumstances, duties, responsibilities. Lord, thou knowest the way that we take. Lord, hear the many prayers put up to thee in times of need and troubles. Those short, urgent cries of, Lord, help me. Lord, save me. Lord, undertake for me. Oh, Lord, there nothing is too hard for thee. Lord, when those impossible things arise, impossible to us, Lord, they're possible with thee. And Lord, do make ways where there seems to be no way. Make crooked things straight, the rough places plain. Lord, do deliver in times of troubles, that one may glorify thee. Bless the children and the young people. Lord, we would commend them to thee in these evil days. Oh, Lord, we fear what may come to pass. Lord, we fear what may come in the pathway in time to come, if it is thy will to spare this earth. But, Lord, do call, Lord, our children, our young people, Lord, unto the knowledge of thy truth, and Lord, prove to be a refuge for them, trusting in thee at all times. Lord, for thou hast said, I will never leave thee, as thy people, nor forsake thee. Oh, what a shelter in the time of the storms and the tempests. Lead, or do not bring them into times of persecution, and times, Lord, of prosecution. Lord, may they enjoy the freedom of worship which we have enjoyed who are older. Give wisdom to our government. Oh, Lord, we do pray for them, Lord, in these difficult days. Lord, give them the wisdom to know what is right and what is wrong. Lord, cause them to restrain the will of those who would bring legislation to adopt abominable things. Lord, there are those already on our statute books. There are those who would desire more. Oh, Lord, do prevent it, we pray. Overturn, overturn, overturn. And Lord, do in its place establish still in our land our Protestant constitution. Lord, the freedom of worship. Lord, the open Bible. Lord, the freedom to declare the whole counsel of God. And may thy word not return to thee void, but may it accomplish that which thou doth please. May it prosper in the thing to which thou doth send it. So, Lord, in our churches, amongst the people, in our nation, oh, Lord, may it be so. Remember those in other lands. Lord, we commend them to thee also. Lord, remember those that preach the gospel. Lord, remember Samuel and Hannah and their two boys in Mombasa. Lord, do be with them as they continue that work that was begun there some years ago. James and Elsie and their family now are in this land, and Lord, Samuel and Anna left to continue. Oh, Lord, use the ministry of the gospel through him to the local people there. And as thou hast given him wisdom and ability to learn the local language and to begin to translate, Lord, religious documents in that local language, oh, Lord, we do pray thou wilt own and bless that work. And, Lord, the family and friends who hope to go and meet with them, some, Lord, in the near future, Lord, give them safe journeys. And, Lord, return them safely also. Oh, Lord, all these things we lay before thee. Thy word says, pray without ceasing. Lord, there's so much to lay before thee. Have mercy upon our souls. Blot out all of our transgressions. Lord, do love us freely. Remember those bereaved of loved ones. Lord, we commend them to thee. Draw near and go with them. Lord, we ask thy blessing upon all those that call upon thee in the time of need and prove thee to be a gracious God. Hear us then, Lord, in heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest us, do forgive. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 938. 938. When thou, my righteous judge, shalt come to take thy ransomed people home, shall I among them stand? Shall such a worthless worm as I, who sometimes am afraid to die, be found at thy right hand. Hymn 938.
Thank you. complete, not a dependence upon our Lord to help us, whether we speak or whether we hear. We need the same Spirit of God, don't we, to bless his holy word to us. And I ask your prayerful attention by way of a text to the first book of Samuel, chapter 20, and the end of verse 3. The first book of Samuel, chapter 20, and the last clause of verse 3. There is but a step between me and death. There is but a step between me and death. The end of this third verse of the 20th chapter of the first book of Samuel. Dear friends, these are most solemn words that affect us all, whether young or whether we're old. We've just sung a solemn hymn, a hymn concerning the desire to be prepared for the end of life. These words here of our text, there is but a step between me and death, you would perhaps think would fall from the lips of Job in his great trial, in his sore distress and great sickness. But these are the words of David when he was relatively young. David's experience throughout his days, dear friends, was of the Lord. We find, don't we, that David spoke many words. We have many of them recorded, but I'm sure they're a very small fraction of one of the words he spoke throughout his whole life of 70 years. But these words have been recorded under the influence of the Spirit of God in the Holy Scriptures. Therefore, there must be a divine purpose for them. A divine purpose that is for our instruction. A divine purpose for us to take heed to the word of God. There is but a step between me and death. It's perhaps something we don't often think about. We often think by nature that the next day will be as it is today, and so on and so forth. We plan and we scheme, and yes, we have to plan and scheme. We have to be wise stewards. We have to prepare and not be fatalistic and sit back and do nothing and just let things happen. We have to conduct ourselves wisely. But as James says, if the Lord will, if the Lord will. There is but a step between me and death. You know, David had many instances when he could say this. He probably didn't say them at the time. But when he was a very young child, a young boy, the youngest of Jesse's children, and he looked after his father's sheep, he declares how he fought with the lion and with the bear. How he took hold of the beard of the lion and took the lamb out of the lion's mouth. And the Lord, he said, spared him from the paw of the bear and the paw of the lion. There was a step there, wasn't there? But a step between him and death. When he went on to fight Goliath, that mighty great warrior, was there not but a step between him and death? And here we have in this account with Saul. Now, real friend, Saul delighted in David in the slaying of Goliath. It saved Israel from the power of the Philistines at that time. But when other women folk with their timbrels and dancers started to praise David more than Saul, saying, "Saul hath slayed his thousands, but David his tens thousands," then jealousy sprang up in Saul's heart, an evil spirit of jealousy. And dear friends, where jealousy is in the heart, oh, there's no telling how far it'll go. Saul became aware that David would probably become the king of Israel in place of his own sons, Jonathan. And he was determined that that would not be so. We read, don't we, how David sat before Saul playing the harp to try and quiet him when he was of this evil spirit. And more than once, Saul sought to kill David with the javelin. I think it's 2 or 3 times we read of such an occasion as that. David had to escape, David had to flee. And in the portion we read, he fled to his own home, Saul having given David Michal's daughter to wife. And then he escaped there because Saul sent his servants to take him. For Saul had said, hadn't he, to Jonathan and to all his servants, that they should kill David. Yes, Jonathan persuaded Saul otherwise for a small time. His intention was ever there. And David had to flee, didn't he? He fled to the Philistines. He fled to Achish. And there Achish's servants recognized David. Why, this is the one who has slain his thousands. He is the one who has slain our Goliath. He is the one who has destroyed our army again and again. No doubt their intention then was to take him. There was but a step between David and death. Oh, David escaped, yes. He dwelt in the land of the wilderness of Judea, where the Lord had directed him to go. We read of that account when Saul came, to kill David. David was on one side of the mountain, and Saul was on the other side of the mountain. And Saul encompassed David and his men. There was but a step between David and death. But Saul heard that the Philistines had invaded the land and he had to return. Dear friends, how many times we read of David, as it were, a step between him and death. Even when he left the wilderness of Judea, under his own desire to go again to the Philistines, he said, "I shall one day perish by the hand of Saul." And he left the place where the Lord would have him be. Yes, the Philistines, the king gave him Ziklag. David left Ziklag and with his men to go and fight with the Philistines. They weren't permitted, and when they returned, Ziklag was burnt with fire, and everything and everyone there had been taken. And David's men spoke of stoning David. A step between him and death. And so we find it, don't we, throughout his kingship, with the varied battles. And especially when Absalom came to usurp him from the throne of the king of Israel. There was but a step between him and death. But dear friends, it never happened. All those that desired and those circumstances to kill David, they could never take that step to kill him, because it was not of the Lord's will. David's time was in the Lord's hand. The Lord had said, had spoken, when Samuel anointed David, and David was filled with the Spirit within, as well as anointed for to be the king. It was said that there would be this new king of Israel through David. This is he. Anoint him. And dear friends, nothing can overturn the word of God. Saul couldn't overturn it. Achish couldn't overturn it. His own men at Ziklag couldn't overturn it. Absalom couldn't overturn it. No, not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. There is but a step between me and death, but everything is in the Lord's hand. What a mercy. Now, dear friends, this affects you and it affects me. Whether we are young or whether we are old, no matter what our age, from the time we are born to the time we die, there is but a step between us and death. There are many things, aren't there, today that can take away our life from us. Why, there's sicknesses, diseases, all the cancers, the heart attacks, the strokes. We don't know when and if they will come. The injuries, those things what we term accidents, those terrible incidents. The viciousness and wickedness of others who walk our streets and our nation and the world. Who can tell what another may do unto us at any time? Oh, we read of it so often in the news, don't we? Of these murderous ones. There is, so often we think of it, well, we don't think of it, do we, very much? A step between us and death. When we take our journeys in the car or by whatever form of transport, there is but a step between us and death, isn't there? There's many dangers on the road and in the forms of transport we have. And so we may go on. Dangers seen, dangers not unseen. Circumstances come upon us, or which can take our lives away in an instant. Perhaps you've had them as you look back over your lives. Circumstances when there's been but a step between you and death. I remember when I was about 6 years old, I suppose, or maybe seven. We lived on a major road in the West Midlands, and that road was not nearly so busy as it is today. But my mother used to cross me over that road to the street opposite, which I then had to go along and take a footpath at the end of it and come to the school. And at the end of the day, I would return along that footpath and down that street, and I would stand on the opposite side of the road. And my mother would come down to the front of our house to cross me over. She would tell me when to come. And on this particular occasion, I was standing there and she was standing, and I thought she said come, and I ran. And there was a car only some relatively few yards away. How that car missed me, my mother never knew. Neither did the driver. Only the Lord knew. A step between me and death, but preserved. It wasn't the Lord's will. Dear friends, as I look back today and consider these things, which I didn't do at the time, I wondered whatever the fuss was about. You know, dear friends, it humbles us. The good hand of the Lord, the power of the Lord, he giveth his angels charge over thee, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Have you got any circumstances in your lives like that? Then, dear friends, it should bring us into the fear of the Lord. Because, dear friends, we're dependent, aren't we, on his sovereign will, his sovereign grace, his sovereign mercy to preserve us from harms, from dangers, to continue in this life as he would have us. Dear friends, how it should cause us to humble ourselves at his feet in thanksgiving. Dear friend, let us not neglect our circumstances. It's of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed through another year. His compassion's new every morning, great is his faithfulness. Dear friend, which brings us on to something else. David was his own enemy also, because David was a sinner. David said, great is mine iniquity. David said he was poor and needy. That wasn't in the physical sense, because he was the king of Israel. He was rich. But David came to know within himself that he was a sinner. Why, his own heart, wicked, deceitful above all things, when the Lord had delivered him from so much of the hand of death, and he was sitting at home, the Lord having delivered him from the power of all his enemies, sitting there comfortably. Yes, Joab was still fighting, but David was comfortable. David fell into adultery. And then he fell into murder. David knew not the solemnity of his sin, although he tried to cover it, didn't he? That he could take Bathsheba to be his wife, the sin would be covered, and he could legitimately then claim the son of Bathsheba to be his own. His own in wedlock. But dear friends, you know, when we're left to our own hearts, deceitful and desperately wicked, what terrible plans and schemes they will work up. Not only let us fall into solemn sins and transgressions, Oh, but to be devious, to be lying, to be sinful more, deceitful. It took the word of God, didn't it? The word of God had to come to David before he knew what he had done. The sinfulness of it. Oh, that godly man Nathan was sent with that parable of the rich man who had taken the one ewe lamb of a poor man to feed his visitors rather than take of his own flock. And David's heart was stirred by that. That one could be so unkind. One could be so unmerciful. The one that has done this thing shall surely die. Dear friends, through David's sin, there was but a step between him and death. He knew it. He condemned himself, hadn't he? Under the law, under the righteous law of God, he should die. But Nathan said, "The Lord hath also said, I have put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die." Oh, dear friends, what a deliverance. As David had known deliverance in those physical experiences, which we've just outlined, he knew this greater deliverance from the power of his own sin. Oh, what an enemy that is to the soul. If it's an enemy to your soul, isn't it an enemy to my soul? That because of our sin, not just of our body, but of our soul, there is but a step between us and death. I often tremble at that word of the Lord to that rich ruler whose farm, his harvest brought forth plentifully, and he said he would eat, drink, and be merry. Oh, thou hast many goods laid up for thyself. But God said, and what God says, dear friends, comes to pass. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Oh, dear friends, then that hymn we've just sung, how needful it is, isn't it? That our name be not left out when the Lord calls his people at the end of time. There is but a step between me and death. Dear friends, when we consider all the solemnity of our sin and the consequence that it will bring us, it directs us, doesn't it, to Jesus, the Son of God. You know, when Jesus came upon this earth, really there was but a step between him and death. There was many that sought to take that step, to kill him. Well, yes, it began with Herod, didn't it? When he slew all the children of Bethlehem and round about of 2 years old and under, trying to remove the king of the Jews who had been worshipped by those three wise men. And then the Jews themselves. Oh, they took Jesus to the brow of the hill at Nazareth, didn't they, to throw him down. But he passed through their midst. His hour had not yet come. At Jerusalem, oh, how they sought to stone him, I think, more than once. But they did not achieve it. Passing through their midst, he went on his way. His hour had not yet come. But dear friends, when that hour did come, oh, what a step was taken. He gave himself into the hands of the unbelievers, of the wicked. This is your hour. This is the hour of darkness. To lay down his life. And dear friends, what a step that was. How his sufferings, how immense, not just physically, spiritually as well. My soul is poured out unto death. It is sorrowful unto death as he sweat those great drops of blood in the garden of Gethsemane. When the sins of all the Father gave him were imputed to him, he became the sinner. He became made sin for his people. The step was that they should be made righteous in the sight of God. One step between him and death. How he's mocked, scourged, planted that crown of thorns upon his head. Oh, dear friends, what a truth there is there. Those thorns which came upon this earth were of the curse of God on account of sin. And they crowned Jesus with those thorns. The curse of God upon him for sin. And how that must have brought forth that blood. Especially when they hit him with that rod as well. And then they nailed him to that cross. Oh, the agony of it. Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. It was the step he'd got to take. It was the will of the Father. He'd said, if this cup cannot pass, let this cup pass from me, if it is, can be thy will. But not my will, but thine be done. How willing was Jesus to die, that guilty sinners might live. This step taken by Jesus unto death. And oh, that cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, the Father cannot look upon sin. The hiding of his Father's face. We read, don't we, our iniquity separates the knowledge of our Lord from us. And we read in the prophecy of concerning Jesus, oh, my righteous servant, he shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Oh, the evidence, the clarification, we don't need any further than that, do we? The Lamb of God, bearing the sins of many, led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a lamb before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Dear friends, that step was taken to destroy the power of sin. That step was taken to destroy the power of Satan. That step was taken to remove all the guilt of his people from under the law. That step was taken to cleanse his people's soul from every sin. A step between Jesus and death. And dear friends, when he died, oh, the grave couldn't hold him, could it? No, he rose again. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Dear friends, it's the only way one can be delivered from hell's fire. The way that is Jesus, who has marked out this step between life and death. As he rose and he's ascended on high, oh, let captivity captive. Dear friends, to declare all those for whom he's died faultless before the Father's face. Dear friends, the path of life, eternal life, has been wrought out through Jesus. Now, dear friends, we shall have to take that step. We shall have to die in the flesh. We don't know what the means will be. We do not know when it will come. But it will come. It's appointed unto us all to die. And dear friends, what a mercy if it has not come to us yet. What a mercy that the Lord has not yet dealt with us after our sins or rewarded us according to our iniquities. What a mercy if he's brought us into his tender fear. Knowing that as he is with us and helped us hitherto in our lives and shielded us from many harms, dangers, yes, even delivered us from death from one time and another. Dear friends, the fear of the Lord. Oh, that we deserve death, solemn death of our soul because of our sin. And only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and faith in his name, that precious gift of the Holy Ghost, can we be saved. Then, dear friends, does that cause you to cry? Give me Christ, or else I die. And not only in the flesh, but in the soul also. The second death. That solemn word, depart from me, ye cursed. Oh, dear friends, you know, when we consider these words, I trust it stirs up within you an evidence of the fear of God, an evidence of the fear of God. Our times are in his hand. Our breath is in his hand. Oh, that's what Daniel declared to Belshazzar, wasn't it, that wicked king, whose breath is in his hand. And dear friends, in a moment, we can be called from time to eternity. But do you know, dear friends, what the Lord Jesus has done? He's paved that step with redeeming love. His sheep shall follow him. His people shall follow him. Yes, they will pass through death. But those who lean upon Christ by faith, those whose only plea is that shed blood, dear friends, that hour and article of death, what a step it is. In fact, apparently, this word step here in the Hebrew really means stride, a big step. And it is a big step, isn't it? We have in the word of God that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And they are. And we have to thank the Lord if he orders our steps, directs our steps in the way that we shall go in this earthly life. But what a step when this is ordered by the Lord to die in faith in Jesus Christ. That step, that way which is Jesus, paved with his redeeming love. No threat, no fear, only the realization of the fullness of salvation, saved by Jesus Christ, who has paid the price for our sin, to enter into eternal life. There is but a step between us and death. Oh, dear friends, if it's not the step in the following of the Lord Jesus Christ, it will be a solemn step into outer darkness and that hellfire. There's no other way. There's the broad way, there's the narrow way. Oh, it makes us consider, doesn't it, which way are we in? David said on one occasion, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why was that? Because he'd had the word from the Lord, that sweet assurance, I have put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Oh, dear friends, what assurance we need, don't we? In spite of our sins. You know, dear friends, when we consider the valley of the shadow of death, we are there now, aren't we? There is but a step between us and death. We're like upon this earth, oh, it's this sin-cursed earth. We're walking in the shadow of death. It's the end of all things. This earth will be destroyed. Dear friends, it might seem to you that death is like that great mountain which cannot be overcome. It's going to smother you. But it will smother those who don't believe in Christ. It will smother those who have no fear of God. They'll call for the hills and the rocks to cover them. Oh, in that hour, an article of death and of the judgment of God. As if that will shelter them from the wrath of God. It won't. Death will have the rule and the power over them. But dear friends, think of it like this. If death is not that great mountain, and we're walking in the shadow of it now, the shadow is because there's a light behind the mountain. There's no shadow without the light. And the Lord leads his people through the valley of the shadow of death into that glorious light of the glorious kingdom of heaven. He's destroyed the power of death. O grave, where is thy sting? Death, where is thy victory? Oh, what a victory Christ wrought out there on Calvary's cross. That the light of the glory of God, dear friends, can shine forever and upon the sun in the souls of all those for whom Christ died. Blessed are they who die in the Lord. Oh, they shall from henceforth. Well, it's in Revelation, isn't it? How they shall. Let me just read that as it comes to me in case I quote it wrongly. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labours, and their works do follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and oh, the glory of the Lord was there. There is a step between us and death. There is a step between us and that eternal glory. If we know our Jesus crucified, who has gone before us to by far excel all things beside. Dear friends, let us search our hearts. Is that our condition at the beginning of this a new year? We know not whether we shall reach the end of it, shall we? We may take many steps, and we pray the Lord to lead us and guide us in our steps through this life, to commit our way unto him, to trust also in him, and him to bring it to pass. But dear friends, let us realize, in this world we've no abiding city. Oh, the Lord help us to seek that one which is to come. To view by faith, the exercise of faith, the blessed gift of the Spirit, to look beyond the things of time, in our troubles, in our difficulties, in our sorrows, in all our cares, to know that one day, oh, there'll be no sin, there'll be no sorrow, there'll be no more death, there'll be no more darkness. there would only be everlasting life. One thing in closing. Dear friends, I love that verse of Ephesians. Not Ephesians, sorry, Ecclesiastes. Chapter 8 and verse 12. Here's you and me, although a sinner. Sin 100 times. And our days be prolonged, and we sin more and more, don't we? Yet I know that it shall be well with them that fear God. Dear friends, do we fear God? Those experiences in our lives, are they the way marks? Are they those milestones, as we might say, those instances which we can look back and say, oh yes, the Lord was there. The Lord was mindful of me. Oh, I'm unworthy of the least of his mercies. Oh, but he saved me from despair. He saved me from death. He saved me out of all those troubles. And dear friends, were you worthy of it? No. Well, may these be evidences. The Lord is mindful of you. May they bring you into a little hope, a little comfort, and bring you into that fear, knowing that if he should leave you or forsake you, oh, there would be no hope at the end of your days. There is but a step between us and death. But that glorious step, through faith in Jesus Christ, will carry us to the eternal kingdom, to be with him forevermore. Well, the Lord grant his blessing upon his word. Lord, may there be some word in season, something to draw our attention to our frailty, our dependence upon God, and upon that precious gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, who gave himself a sacrifice for sin. Oh, may we be able to say, for my sin he carried there at Calvary's cross, that I might live forevermore when called to die. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Gilbert Hyde will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Hadley again on Friday evening next week. Our closing hymn is 471. 471. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. Hymn 471.
Lord, do pardon and forgive all that thy holy, pure eyes have seen amiss in our worship here this evening. But, O, cause thine own word of truth to abide in our hearts. May it bring forth from us, Lord, that tender fear, that reverent fear, knowing that thou art almighty. We are unworthy, and our whole dependence is fixed upon thee. Then confirm, Lord, that we are thine. And Lord, may we have that good hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ and his shed blood. Lead us through this earthly life. Guide us in all the steps that we should take. Use us for thine honour and for thy glory. And when that hour in accordance with thy will comes, take us through that gateway, as it were, from earth to heaven, to the glory of thy name, and there to worship thee for evermore. Lord, may this be our lot, as it was spoken to Daniel. Go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt stand in thy lot at the end of the day. So hear the prayer of our closing hymn. Answer it for each one of us, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.